next speaker is Brother Paul Malley, and we've asked Brother Austin Williams to ask the Lord's blessing upon his discourse and our day together of fellowship.
In thy presence is fullness of joy. Dear Heavenly Father, we approach thy throne of grace this morning once again to be able to water one another in this convention which the Brethren of San Diego Ecclesia hosted. We are grateful and thankful for all thy bountiful blessings, and especially the blessing that thou seest fit to be here this morning so that we could have another opportunity to lay down our lives as a willing sacrifice and be able to sustain this treasure which is embedded in this earthen vessel. And at this hour, we ask thy blessing upon Brother Paul Malley's discourse and the thoughts which are going to be presented. May thy blessing be upon his ministry and also in our minds, that we could pay attention to the words which are spoken, not only in his discourse, but also the remainder of this day's proceedings, so that we may all say it was good for us to be here, and we can take some gems which may be near and dear to us as we recognize the sentiments of this hymn of being nearer and nearer unto thee as we draw closer and closer unto thee in our thoughts, words, and our deeds. And we are not only mindful of this gathering here, we are mindful of thy children, the saints world over, wherever they're trying to run this race in spirit and in truth and trying to make their calling election sure. We do not know all their needs, but we bring their needs to thy throne of grace so that you could sustain them as thou see them fit until their earthly sojourn is complete to thy satisfaction. So we wait for the remainder of this day and thy blessing to follow, and all these favors and mercies we humbly ask in our Master's most precious and wonderful name. Amen.
Well, brethren, you know Brother Paul Malley, and you've known him for many years, most of you. And I still remember, as Brother Paul does, the first time he came to San Diego. I remember hearing a lesson by him on tape of this brother that I had never met. And I still remember the subject. It was the croaking of three frogs from Revelation. And those that heard that tape said, you know, I wonder if it's possible he would come to San Diego. Well, he did, and he's been back many times. And this morning, we're pleased to have him present this lesson on guardian angels. Brother Paul Malley.
Thank you. It's always a privilege to be in San Diego. I was told I came here the first time 35 years ago. Tim Krupa was there. Boy, you've grown up fast. Am I all right with the electronics?
Yeah.
Okay, because I usually raise my voice when I speak, but you could control. Now, this is a big issue. You know, back in New Haven, we had a sister there. You all know Anna Mae Sarasi. Everybody knows her. But her grandmother, you may not have known, not her mother, and she was 95, I think, when one day she was always sitting in the front, all the time. So one day I went to her and I said, sister, I says, you always sit in the front. Why? She says, because you're my favorite speaker. I said, oh, how nice of you to say that, sister. But why am I your favorite? Because you're the only one I could hear. Once said, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. Those are powerful words. Do you believe it? Where is he? David, is he registered for this? Did you register him?
I didn't see his name, but I trust he's here.
He said it. We're more than two or three here. So where is he? Is he floating in the ceiling? Is he sitting in that chair? I believe his promise, and I believe like others. He's here. How? Some of you might say, well, he's in our hearts. Well, I like that. That's kind of nice. He's in our hearts. But I think the promise was a little bit more than that. Is there such a communication system in the spiritual world where they could pick up sounds and language and thoughts and it goes there to the throne? Of course there is! Austin Williams just brought us. Where is he sitting here? Where did he go? Oh, here he is. He just brought us before God. I think I heard him say, Heavenly Father. How did he do it? With an airplane? With some other vehicle? How did he bring us before the throne? Well, he might say, he brought us through thought. Is thought a spiritual way of communicating, even in the spiritual world? I will contend and argue with you that thought is the easiest way and probably the only way we can get into the spiritual world as humans. As humans. You're not going to get in physically. You know what's out there outside planet Earth? Somebody said vacuum. Don't believe it's not vacuum. There's all kinds of rays, lethal rays and cosmic rays. You'll die if you get out there as you are. How do we then get to God? Through thought, as human beings. There's another way we can get to God. Angels. Guardian angels. I hope you believe, like I do, that there are guardian angels. We have a lot of evidence in the scriptures that they exist. So we're going to talk about these guardian angels. But I might even ask you something personal. Where are our guardian angels? If you believe in the guardian angel, and if you believe you got one, and I'm of the opinion, and it's an opinion, Russell, don't ask me for a scripture on this. He's a good Bible student. So he knows where the scriptures are. But there could be one angel with a group of brethren, serving a group of brethren. One angel with a cluster, which would imply one angel for the San Diego class. That's what that would imply. Could be that. Or it could be a flock of angels with one person. Or it could be one person for one person. I don't know. I'm just thinking about that. So where are the angels this morning? Has anybody seen a guardian angel? Are they outside? David, you know all about these things. Where are they? Are they having a little conference by themselves, David? You know, there's a lot of mysteries. But as far as angels are concerned, the New Testament speaks of angels more than 165 times. You'll find that. A lot of evidence. And the Old Testament speaks of it 100 times. So if you add those together, you get the Bible at least 265 times identifies angels. And since the human nature is distinct from the angelic nature, there is little proof that we have that they're even in existence other than what the Bible tells us and personal experiences. I'll get to that in a minute. But Can you verify the spiritual world? Austin, you're a pretty sharp fellow. Can you do it? No, I'm not going to put you on the spot. Can we verify that there is a spiritual world? And if we can, how do we do it? Now, you know, the scientists, they have certain rules that if you follow. And, you know, it's amazing. It all comes out in an equation. They want an equation. Can you imagine getting statistical things with an equation? But can we, you know, it's an interesting question. How do we verify there is a spiritual angel? Let me make some suggestion. Science does is confronted with sometimes mysteries that they can't explain. This is there's something going on that we don't, like, for example, the Stonehenge, Easter Island. I got to get to that place one day. I've never been there, but I'd love to see those huge statues. No human being can pick those things up. How do they move around? And the pyramid. You know, a lot of mysteries of that kind that science can't explain. And they're saying, well, something to this world out there. And of course, another one is personal experiences, and I'll get to that too in a little while. We got hundreds and hundreds of stories of people encountering angels. The harmony in the universe tends to suggest, hey, there's intelligent design out there. There's nothing random, nothing arbitrary, nothing whatever it is. There's harmony there. It gets worse, sister. Don't worry about it. Just because something is invisible does not mean it doesn't exist. In fact, I will make the argument that the biggest forces and the greatest things are invisible. How many of you has ever seen gravity? Jim, you must have seen gravity. Have you ever seen gravity? Look down on your feet. Look down on your feet. Some of you say, well, I got shoes on. Is that all you see there? Do you know if it wasn't for gravity holding you right there, you would be out in space? Why is it we believe in things invisible even though we can't see them? And that's true. You got gravity holding you there. But it's an invisible force. Keith, I got one for you. Have you ever seen an electron? No, I because he's an electronic expert, you know. He knows all about those things. Have you ever seen an electron? Do you believe they exist? You know, even science can't see an electron. They can't see it. They said, we know it's there, but we can't, even with the electronic microscopes, they can't see it. And they say, unless we see it, we won't believe it. That's why they have a problem with God. Unless I see God, I won't believe. I'll never forget the time when I was in Paris at the French Convention, and they're very nice. They usually ask you to make some remarks, and I happened to mention that Jesus is invisible. We can't see him, but he's there. And he comes up to me, this brother, French brother, comes and says, Brother Paul, she's, where is Jesus located? I want to go see him. When when we deal with spiritual matters, they're not earthly, they're not human matters, they're spiritual matters. And one of the reasons why we're into putting in the volumes into illustrations and trying to give a picture language to some of these very difficult spiritual things. The Africans love it. The Chinese now love it too. But there are many things invisible that we can't see, but we believe them. The black holes. The infrared and ultraviolet lights. Can we see those? It's a part of a spectrum that it's invisible. God's existence. Has anybody seen God? And yet we believe it. So I'm making my point. There are things around us that are there, and the forces are great even though we don't see them. And thus we talk about guardian angels. We don't see them doesn't mean they're not there. So we're going to talk a little bit about the guardian angels. Because all angels are created by God. And I would say prior to the creation of the earth. Or if you have the opinion that he's creating angels as we go along with the divine plan of the ages. I don't think so. I think it stopped at that point. I think he's got to focus now on the human species that he is interested in. And we know that humans do not become angels at the moment of death. Even though Christendom might tell us that they do. Even aborted babies, by the way. I was interested in seeing that. They believe aborted babies, those who believe that life begins at conception. Aborted babies become angels, the thought. I don't think so. Some think that the spiritual world is a product of the human world. Whereas I think it's just the opposite. That the human world is a product of the spiritual world. There are good and holy angels living in heaven. Isaiah 6, 1 to 6. Hebrews 12, 22. They have as many as 10 functions. I hope to get into these 10 functions for you. We'll do it quickly. And David, incidentally, is a very kind chairman. You heard me last night. I says chairmen are regarded as the enemy. Not David. He says, go ahead, take it along. Okay. So, angels can materialize or take on a human appearance when the Lord God has a plan for that. Now, we've had some notice of that in Hebrews 13:2, and also when the angels visited Abraham, remember there were three angels that visited him. I'm of the opinion too that one of them was the Logos. I think the Logos was part of that group, giving the messages of Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels are powerful and they're strong. But they're not all the same. I don't know our God to be monotonous. Do you? There's no monotony in God. If there is a great doctrine in this whole universe, it's the doctrine of variance. Everything is different. You vary with other human beings. Take a look. Do you see another Paul Malley around here? Well, don't stop with Paul Malley. How about snow? Because That's a bad illustration because you don't know what snow is here. I know what you... Grass! No, that's a bad illustration too. No two grass alike. Do you know that? No two grass alike. And how much grass is there? Is it a couple of million? Oh boy. Go start counting them. Billions and billions of blades. They're all different. Snowflakes, billions and billions, they're all different. And we're reaching now with billions of human beings. The latest scientific estimate of the number of people that ever lived, up till they don't use Brother Russell's chronology, they use the Ice Age. From the Ice Age up to now, they estimate about 100 billion people that ever lived. There's a German professor of which I'm familiar with, we communicated, and I raised the question of him. And, did he send me material, equations and everything? I was impressed. And he came up with the figure of 60 billion that ever lived. Now, I came up with my own figure, and I'll tell you how I did it. I took 144,000 and squared it. Squaring it, I came up with 20,700,000,000 people that ever lived. So now we have a range. It's between 20 billion and 100 billion. Somewhere in between there. We'd be roughly correct. And you know what's powerful about that? No two are alike. So the point I made is that God is a God of variance. So do you think he makes all the angels alike when he's made all the humans with such variety? Of course not. I'm getting lost here, David. I hope you're sympathetic this morning. I got to get back to the task. Angels are sexless and they don't reproduce. Angels are different from each other's. Angels have unique language but can understand other languages. Angels can materialize only when the Lord allows it. Now the number of angels is challenging. There are enormous numbers and there are different estimates. But I have not found a total number of angels that the Lord has given us. Just like we don't know what the total human beings are. We say it's in a range, perhaps, in between there. So we don't know what the total is. I think God only knows. And he doesn't feel it's enough. He doesn't feel he has to share that with us to make our calling election sure. But we'll get to know that someday. But there are areas that suggest some totals. We hear about 12 legions of angels. 12 legions that would be commanded. A Roman legion is about 6,000 men. That's about 72,000 angels. And another is 10,000 of saints. This is in Deuteronomy 33:2. And then in Psalm 68:17, the chariots of God are 20,000, and so on. But the one that really impressed me was the one in, I think it's Daniel 7, 10 to 13. 10,000 times 10,000 angels stood before the throne. Now, 10,000 times 10,000? Bill, what does that come up to? 100 million angels. 100 million angels. Just in one scene. One area. Where? Around the throne of God. Wow, that's a lot of angels. If Daniel is correct. So, we have to accept the fact that there are a lot of angels in the world. Now, there are fallen angels. I'm not going to spend too much time on the fallen angels. The one big one is Satan, who led the pack, and he's got others with him. And you might be interested in knowing how he fell. You can get the good story of this in Isaiah, and where Isaiah 14:13, where he made five I wills. Be careful, friends, when you say, I will, I will, I will. This is disastrous. Always say, if the Lord wills, if the Lord wills. So what did Satan say? I will ascend unto the heavens. What did Satan say? I will exalt above the stars of God. What did Satan say? I will sit on the sides of the north. What did Satan say? I will ascend above the clouds. What did Satan say? I will be like the Most High. Wow. That was his downfall. I don't believe, maybe you do, you can convince me, I don't think there's any hope for Satan. I think he's gone. Just a question of time. Just a question of time. Now, angels symbolize a level of power in God's hierarchy. We have the lowest level, angels. The next one is seraphims. The next level is cherubims. The next level is archangels. And then next is the divine power, the divine level. These seem to be the level of hierarchy, and would suggest a level of power that these different beings have. And we talked about this yesterday, but I'll just quickly identify. The opportunity we have is to bypass all these levels and go to the top, if you make your calling election sure. That's powerful. That's a great promise. Can God do it, by the way? Can God put in immortality to 144,000 faithful ones? Yes, he can. He did it with Jesus. He'll do it with the 144,000. But look at what happens. Now, we also mentioned yesterday, I didn't mention this point, but we mentioned that the number one creation, as far as I'm concerned, was the Logos. Nothing else comes close to that. But who's the second? I would suggest to you that little flock. Because they'll all be a part of the divine family with immortality. So they're the second greatest question. And if you remember yesterday, I was urging you, don't let this opportunity slip through your fingers. Jesus says, hold fast to that which is yours. Now, angels are not omnipresent. That is, they move everywhere at the same time. They can be in one place at a given time, yet they can be in other places. They don't stand in one area. They're movable. Now, I'm going to give you the results of a study that was made at a university. And I'm not taking everything, but there are certain things I think you'll find of interest. You know, there's a lot of stories about angels that have dealt with human beings and humans dealt with them. So, like universities, they like to research things and see how well they are and how truthful they are. So I'm going to put on the board over here, I got it right over here, a couple of graphs that I think is very insightful, and I can move with this. Boy, I wish I had this as a normal voice. Powerful. I can knock people down just by sound, right? Well, let me put these down. Now, this was a study that made by the university. So we'll have two They took something like 5,000 stories that were being examined for their veracity, for their qualities, for their consistencies, and so forth. So they took these 5,000 people. This is number of respondents. So both these axes here is number of respondents. They wanted to find out, when you saw these angels or when you met these angels, tell us something about it. What did they look like? So the first one was, ...30% indicated they were in white. They're all white. 16% said they were in a human form. 13% said they were light, just a bright light. 9.6% said it was just a scent. Just a scent. A smell. 9.4 said it was a physical sensation. And then finally, 4.9% said it was a sound, with the experience that they had, claiming that they were encountering a guardian angel. So this is a statistical thing. Of the 5,000, they categorized them in these different faces. And then they wanted to know, with the number of respondents, they wanted to know, where did they have this experience? So 70% said it was in the bedroom. 42% said it was outside. 35% said it was somewhere in the home. 27% said it was in the hospital. 25% said it was in a place of worship, like a church or something like that. And then 14% said it was in a transport, some vehicle transporting. And then 7%, the last one, 7% said it was during or after an accident. Now, these statistical figures kind of suggest that any encounter is in a variety of ways and a variety of places. Now, I'm going to leave it up to you how much of this you're going to believe. Because we have two things. We have, first of all, we seem to believe that there are guardian angels or angels that encounter with the human beings. We seem to be, but then some of the stories, I'll tell you, I've read over 500 stories. And, you know, some of them I have doubts. I want to give you some of these stories. There was one in India. An illiterate Chinese. I better put this down first. In India, an illiterate Chinese confronted a tiger. The tiger attacked her, took her arm and half her shoulder off. And she had a child that she was holding. So she felt this was it. And the tigress was about to go after her again. And all of a sudden it stopped. And it left. And she was saved. And she explained that it was her guardian angel that saved her. Let me give you another one. I'm not going to give you a lot of these, just a few. A neurologist answered his door late at night and found a little girl deeply upset at the door. She and her mother was very sick. Or she said her mother was very sick and dying. She asked the neurologist to follow her to her mother's house. The doctor just left with her and arranged for the medical care, brought the mother to the hospital and so forth, and saved the life of the mother. The doctor complimented the mother for her child's coming to his house. And leading her to her. The mother said something strange. She says, the child had died 2 months ago. This was seen the work of an angel on behalf of the sick woman. Now there are hundreds of these kinds of stories. And I don't have the ability to say this is true, this is not true. I don't know. But these are the kinds of stories that these people come. And they were looked at. 5,000 were looked at this statistical survey. Now I'm going to give you some Bible student encounters. I interviewed some Bible students. I interviewed one of them right here. He's in the back wall. And that is Brother Allison. Right? Let me first give you the story in New York City. You know, Bible students, they give truthful things. So this Bible student one day was going for a subway train. And he's walking down the stairs. Those of you who've been to New York, you know what that means, to go down into the stairs and so forth. And as he went down, he was right in the middle of a theft. There were several people stealing from others, and some were shooting them and so forth. He walked into something quite serious. Now, this is a Bible student telling me this. And he was in the middle. He couldn't run back. And one of the robbers came right up to him with a gun and was out to shoot him. All of a sudden, the man dropped the gun and ran away. Now, that's not the end of it. They captured that thief eventually. They got him. And he went to jail. And the man who was saved was curious. And the detectives were. How come you didn't shoot him? And he said, there were two big men next to this man. Two huge men. He decided to leave. Brother Allison, I'm impressed with what happened. He was going home one night, tired. He had his car controlled. I just started, brother. Has it been that? I thought it was 10:30. No. Okay. Well, I'll just quickly. I got about another 15 pages, by the way. Give me an extra 5 minutes. Oh, he's pretty tough this morning. Okay. He was driving, he was tired, he was under this automatic control. And as he was going, he fell asleep. And he went off the road and he turned. Several turns, as I heard it. Several turns. And then it stopped. And he saw a bright light. He's right over there, by the way, if you want to talk to him. He saw this bright light. And he saw a lot of dirt and dust in the car. But he was untouched. And he's with us today. He did indicate there were some few things that he suffered, you know, but he was still alive. An incident that he could have been dead. Okay. I promised you I would get into 10 functions. Very quickly, got 5 minutes. I'm going to give you just some scriptures and just mention what they are. The first one is that guardian angels, this is Psalms 34:7. Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around those who fear him and delivers them. That is, guardian angels are assigned to those who are identified as spirit begotten. That's number one. Number two, guardian angels are messengers of God. Revelation 19:10. These messengers could be human. Because if you remember Revelation, there were 7 messengers. And remember in Revelation, they were angels. They were called angels. But if you read Revelation 19:10, you will see where one of them, where John began to fall in front of one of them to worship them, and they says, "Don't worship me. I'm a human like you are." So we get the feeling that these messengers were human. And that's the reason why we feel that Brother Russell was a messenger. But there are 7 messengers, starting with Paul and Arius and Waldo and Wycliffe and Luther. They were regarded as messengers and as angels. So that's the second kind of thing. The third is angels guard against troubles. They help to protect the individuals. The fourth is angels have special work in connection with the weather. I happen to believe that, by the way. Katrina is an example. I mentioned that yesterday. Hurricanes are positive. That's how the water gets into the lands, into the rivers and the aquifers and the streams and so forth. That's how it happens. 22 states was watered with Katrina. How do you expect the water to get into those 22 states with a hose? Tie it into somebody's house and water? You know how much water came down? It was huge. I knew the figure, but I forgot it. Then the sixth point is guardian angels have the task of answering prayers. So getting back to the first point, they may be the vehicle by which they bring your prayers up to God. And there's speeds. I wish we had more time. We could talk about the speeds. And incidentally, I will say something that some of you are not going to like. But you can interpret. John 9:31. Read it. God does not answer the prayers of sinners. Okay? I said that one time to a sister. She hasn't talked to me in 6 years. Read it. John 9:31. Then the seventh point. Guardian angels give strength and encouragement. They're your friend. Whoever God assigned to you, they're your friend. The eighth, guardian angels give guidance to spirit begotten. And number 9, guardian angels give instructions. You might have a brother who could represent a message from God. How many times have you said, you know, I just heard David Rice give that talk. You know, I was looking for that answer. He gave it. So we open it up for that too. 10, guardian angels minister to the sick and the dying. And 11, guardian angels can be a real help in the concerns we have in life. Amen. Am I in time? Good.
Thank you, Brother Paul, for this review of our appreciation for our guardian angels that are appointed by the Heavenly Father on our behalf. We're going to close with Brother Paul Malley's choice of hymn number 71. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, which of course he does through his ministering spirits. Now, while we're preparing for that, I want to point out one thing. Do you see that lovely cross and crown that's hanging on the board? That comes from, of all places, an Islamic country. I mentioned earlier Afghanistan. Brother John Harris has had some duties in that country. And while he was there, he noticed the fine handiwork that women did there, and he paid to have that done. And he thought he would put it on display for us. So you have something from a long ways away, where Christianity isn't the common mode, and yet that beautiful design comes from there. Hymn 71, 3 verses.
Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through Thy barren land. I am weak and Thou art mighty, hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing streams do flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me to awful journey through. Strong deliverer, be Thou still my strength and shield. Strong deliverer, be Thou still my strength and shield. As I near the time of trouble, bid my faith in Thee increase. While the thousands round are falling, keep me in perfect peace. Refuge, fortress, Thou hast set Thy love on me. Refuge, fortress, Thou hast set Thy love on me.
Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we have been allowed to come here in San Diego and to meet others of Thy wonderful family that You are developing. We're so grateful that Thou has invited us into the little flock. We do have problems, Father. We need Thy strength. We need Thy help. The challenges we have are many and they are fierce. Help us, Lord, to make our calling and election sure. We love Thee, Father. We want to learn from Thee. We want to live in Thy divine family. We want to be close to Thee. We want to give up all that is implied with humanness. And now we continue to pray for the San Diego class, who has brought us together, as they have, the efforts that they have spent and the expenses that they have put forth. Bless them, Lord. And our prayer also is to receive more of thy Holy Spirit so that we might understand thee more and love thee more. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Two guardian angels.
Two.
I know their names.
Oh, I want to hear that.
Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.